Amen. Amen. Hit the lights there for us. You know, this entire Christmas season, we have been talking about when life needs a Christmas song. And we've discussed that life is sometimes dark and depressing and lonely and confusing and frustrating. But yet the joy of Christmas is simply this, is that God comes to man. God comes to us. And he comes to us to sing us and to put life into us and to give us a brand new start. He comes to us to give us hope and peace and love and joy. God comes to us. And what we do is we just have to make the name of Jesus known. Our goal and our task as Christians is to spread the good news of Jesus. That's why we're doing that Christmas offering. It's why we're supporting missionaries. It's why we send short-term mission trips. It's why we go door-to-door in our neighborhoods to tell people about Jesus. It's why we do Vacation Bible School. It's why we do outreach projects to let everybody know that God has come to save them. To let as many people as possible know that Jesus is here. And that's what Christmas is all about. That the great plan, the great mission of God went into effect 2,000 years ago so we could be saved. Now, throughout this sermon series, we've talked about Christmas songs. And we've talked about how Elizabeth sang a song when she saw the pregnant Mary. And then we talked about when Mary sang her praise song to the Lord. And then we talked about Zechariah when he sang his praise song to the Lord. And then we didn't talk about it a whole lot because our kids sung that day, but we talked about the angels singing a song when Jesus was born. And there's one more song that is mentioned in Luke that I want us to look at today. And it's in Luke chapter 2. So just read it in your Bible, open your Bible, or whether it opens up with a book or glows on an iPad or a phone, okay? Open up to Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25. I preached a more detailed sermon on this last year, but just as we are talking about Christmas songs, I thought this would be appropriate just to kind of quickly retell the story. Jesus was born at Bethlehem, it happened, and then it was the law that the baby had to be circumcised. So they would take the baby to Jerusalem to be circumcised, and there was a man there, and he was just a Jew that was probably a godly man that was just hanging out in the temple, and he was just kind of worshiping God, and then he sees the baby Jesus. And the story goes in Luke 2, the Word of God declares, 2:25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, or when Israel would receive the Messiah, or when God would do great things for the nation of Israel. So this man, an elderly man, had waited his whole life, and somehow the Holy Spirit had told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, until he saw the chosen one. And the Holy Spirit was on him. Verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. Oh, how we need Christians that are guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That follow the Spirit's nudge, that follow the Spirit's push, that listens to them. When God tells them to do something, they are obedient and they follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you'll miss out. You'll miss out if you don't follow. If you don't answer that call to start that ministry, or answer that call to lead that group, or answer that call to be involved in that mission project, or to go share the gospel with someone, or to bless someone, if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. But he entered the temple complex, and when the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under law, that would be the circumcision, Simeon took him up in his arms. So this strange man walks up to the baby and picks the baby up. We have a newborn baby in the house today, don't we, Betsy? Abigail Faith was born. Is it Thursday? Is that right? Friday. That's right. Friday. And her first day in church is today. How about that? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. But now here's what I'm going to tell you what not to do. You ready? Don't walk up and pick up that newborn baby or Brad and Betsy's going to tackle you this morning, okay? So don't do that. But this guy picks up this newborn baby, picks it up in his arms, and he praises God and he sings a song. Now, master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word. Now look what he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. Man, that doesn't really sound like a Jew singing this, does he? Because he talks about this Messiah is for all people and he's a light of revelation to the Gentiles and he's the answer of Israel. It doesn't really sound like a Jew, but he was a faithful Jew that loved Jesus and understood that God was doing something through the Jewish people that would bless the whole world. And then his father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. I mean, they had already experienced shepherds, and they experienced angels. They had experienced, dreams and all kinds of stuff. And then now this gentleman is praising the Lord over the baby. And then Simeon blessed them and told his mother, indeed, this child is destined to call the rise and fall of many in Israel. And oh, he did, didn't he? Fishermen followed him, tax collectors followed him, prostitutes followed him. But the religious people, they turned their back on him, did they not? The ones that should have known, they should have been looking, they turned their back. The hungry and the desperate saw it and they went for him. But the religious folk rejected him and they fell. But many believed and many received. And he would be a sign that would be opposed. But now look what he says, and a sword will pierce your own soul. He looks at Mary and he says, this baby is going to cause the rise and fall of many, whether they believe in him or reject him. He's going to pierce your soul. What does that mean? Well, in order for Jesus to save people, he had to die. And Mary knew that. He had to be, Jesus was the lamb that would die. Jesus was the sacrifice. See, we are not saved because God says, well, I love you, you're saved, you're forgiven. No, your sin comes with a consequence. It comes with a debt that you owe to God. But now, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that any believes in him should not perish. So God doesn't want to send people to hell, but he has to, because you're a sinner and if you reject him. But what's the answer? How do you escape hell? How do you discover salvation? Because when Jesus came at Christmas and the light was here and he became man, he went to the cross to pay for our sins. See, the punishment that we deserved was on Jesus. And when Jesus said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? What a mystery, a divine mystery. But at that moment, God the Father turned his back on God the Son, because at that moment, the Bible says that he who had no sin was made what? Made sin for us. And our sin was being punished on the cross. And now for whoever would believe in him, our sins would be forgiven. When God sees us, he sees Jesus inside of us. Now, of course, we know that Mary was there and she saw Jesus and she saw his sacrifice. And that's what he meant by the sword piercing his soul, her soul. That's what Simeon meant by that. Now, today we have the great privilege of believing and trusting in Christ, and we know Jesus didn't stay dead, that he rose from the grave to show that he was more powerful than sin. Isn't it great today that when we think about Jesus coming, that he came to die, but he also came to rise again? And because of that, we have life today. We have hope today. We have a joy today because Jesus is alive. And what's really cool is that when he ascended into heaven, you know what? He promised us that he would come back for us. So as they were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, they missed it. But now we today, we wait for the second coming of Messiah. When Jesus comes back to earth, and this time he won't be born in a barn. No. This time, the second time when he comes, he's going to be riding on a white horse. And he's going to correct every injustice, everything that's wrong about the world. At his second coming, Jesus will put it all back together and will make it all right. You know what that means? At the second coming of Jesus, at the second coming. Simeon was waiting for the first coming. He saw it. What if today we got to see the second coming of Jesus? What if we get to experience? Well, friend, then you just have to be waiting. And you got to keep your eyes open. You know, Simeon could have very well not listened to the Holy Spirit and not went into that temple and not got to see Jesus. Today, you could be here today and you could feel the Spirit drawing you to a relationship with God. To a relationship with, you feel His nudge. You feel His pull. You sense the Spirit of God working in you this morning. And you can either listen to the Spirit's draw. You can listen to what He's doing in your heart right now. And you can either say, yes, I will submit to Jesus and believe in Him. Or no, I will not submit to Him. And I will reject Him. Now, if you believe and trust in Jesus, that second coming when He comes back again, that ain't going to be bad for us, church. You know that, right? Second coming for the Christian is going to be good stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, if you're a believer, it's good. But now here's the other side to that. If you're not a believer in Jesus, the second coming isn't good for you. It's not good for you if you're not a believer in Christ. This man said that Jesus would be a light, a revelation to the Gentiles. You know, the promise was to the Jews that they would receive the Messiah through them. But yet the Messiah would bless all the people. But he knew that it was a light. You know, I read a story about a botanist, and he was talking about how light, how plants naturally drift towards light. That if you put a plant in your windowsill, it will grow to where the light is. And he told the story about one plant that would normally get about 6 inches tall naturally, normally, if you grew it in a pot. But somehow the seed for this particular plant fell into a cave, and it germinated into a cave, and there was a hole, an opening at the top of it. You know, the caves that kind of go under like that, and the hole is in the top of the ground. And they found this plant, and it had grown to the light a record 120 feet tall due to the light source. That plant that normally grows 6 inches so wanted the light that it would expand itself multiple times to get to the light, 120 feet to the light. But you know what? For us to experience the light of Jesus, are you ready? You ready? We do not try to work and grow up and up and up. Instead, Christmas reminds us what? Instead of us going up towards the light did what? The light came down to us. The light came down to us. And today, if you know and believe in Jesus, the light is in you. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too hardcore Baptist. I don't know. But there's two things Baptists have got to do. If you're going to eat, it's got to be a potluck. Amen? You know? And the second thing a Baptist has got to do, if you preach, you're going to have an invitation. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, I could not today stomach the thought of us coming to Christmas service and us talking about the light of Jesus coming to us and not giving somebody an opportunity today to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. Maybe today you need to profess your faith in Jesus and you need to come forward and let the church know that Christ is in your life. Maybe today for the very first time you need to invite Jesus into your heart. Would you just bow your head, close your eyes? Maybe today you need to invite Christ into your life. I want to invite you to do that today. We'll let our choir come on up. There we go, guys. Let them get settled here. There we go. There we go. This is every head bowed, every heart closed today. Thank you, guys. Maybe today you are ready to invite Jesus into your heart. You believe that you know you're a sinner, but you believe Jesus died and rose again. say, how can I be saved? A simple prayer of asking Christ to come into your heart, surrendering to Him. Maybe you feel the Spirit's nudge on you right now. The Spirit's drawing you to salvation. Maybe it's time to open your heart up to Jesus. If you're ready today for the first time to accept Christ, pray this with me in your heart. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I am separated from You. But I believe You came for me. I believe You died for me. I believe You came back to life. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart today and save me. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Maybe today you prayed that for the very first time. Today you invited Jesus in your heart. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor today with no one looking, no one peeking. If you prayed to invite Christ into your heart, would you just open your eyes real quick and raise your hand and say, Kenny, I did that today. I want to embarrass you, call you out, point you out. But if you did that today, would you just raise your hand? God bless you. Anybody else today? Anybody else? If you did that today for the first time, here in just a few moments, I want to invite you to come forward, tell one of our deacons, to tell me, to make it public today. Maybe you accepted Jesus at your home this season or at another service, and you need to come forward today and invite and let the church know Christ saved you. So, Father, we love You. And we just pray, Jesus, that You, Lord, would just be with those that made decisions and help them, Lord, to have the courage to come forward and to make it public. We thank You, Jesus. We pray in Your name. Amen. Why don't we stand? And, Taryn, I don't know if you've got an invitation song or not playing, but just play something for us, whatever you got. If you need to come today, won't you come?